Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs.
Thanks for tuning in, Chiefs Kingdom. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs. For this weekly podcast episode, I go ahead and give a call to my old friend who's a diehard Charger fan. We go ahead and talk about this virtual draft, what we like, what we didn't like. We talk about our team selections in this NFL draft and also talk about the head-scratching picks around the league, like the Green Bay Packers taking a quarterback in the first round, the Raiders going back-to-back receivers and also taking a cornerback in the first round that had a third-round grade. We also talk about this NFL schedule now. It's going to be on time and how it's going to impact the league, because now a lot of stadiums are not going to have fans in the crowd. So I can't imagine Arrowhead with no fans. But without further ado, let's go ahead and start this show.
But first, a word from our sponsor.
Thanks for doing this again. I know technical difficulties with this, because apparently it's supposed to be the easiest podcast app, but I guess I figured out why. It was making all the clicking noises, so...
Yeah,
thanks for
got that taken care of, right?
Yeah, and hopefully next time it'll be more smoother. But I wanted to ask you, because it's not a post-draft, what did you think of the virtual draft?
So it was pretty cool. I mean, for what we got going on right now, it was awesome. Like, I absolutely loved every minute of it, right? Because I've always been a massive fan of the draft. But the one thing that I really was disappointed with and something that I really missed is on the live, I really enjoy watching all these fans not have a clue of who they just drafted until they start thinking about it, and then they like cheer and stuff. Like, if it's not a big name, they're like and most of them, like, even though this year offensive linemen were really really talked about and very high up on everything, usually it's like the offensive linemen or the defensive backs that people don't really know all that well, unless they're like the top, you know, five, top 10 picks. So It was disappointing not to be able to see all those fans have zero clue, you know, who they just drafted. But everything else was awesome. I think the commissioner did a good job. He was funny. And, yeah. Like, he actually, like, hosted it. And, you know, normally in the second, third, fourth, fifth, you know, all the later rounds, the commissioner doesn't announce the draft pick. It's usually like, you know, guest speakers or NFL players and, you know, Hall of Famers that come up and announce the draft picks for their prospective team that they, you know, retired with or whatever. So that was kind of it sucked not being able to see all that stuff, but I mean, for what we have going on right now, it was perfect. You know, I was pleased.
The only thing I thought that was kind of funny about him is he was super awkward reading off the proctor, and I think it would have been a lot better if he just kind of let him just do his own thing. But yeah, like the first couple of picks, it was kind of funny, and then someone even commented like he feels like Mr. Rogers because he had a sweater on, he's sitting in a leather chair, oh, yeah, and just kind of funny. Laying back. I was cracking up. And but I think the funniest thing, though, because you're waiting, everyone was waiting for some glitch to happen or something bad to happen. And the one thing I thought was hilarious is he was announcing, I think it was the Raiders pick, and you can tell that Proctor messed up because he read it and it said, like, next year we're going to have the NFL draft in Las Vegas for 2020 yes. NFL draft. And then, like, the very next sentence, he's like, and the Raiders pick for the 2020 draft. So I felt bad for him, and, like, the look of his face, like, you could tell it was a little awkward, but what do you expect? I mean, he's not used to being, like, on live television, like, standing up in front of all these people and, like, everyone, millions of fans watching. So I don't blame him for that. But I thought – I was really impressed how it went. I mean, all the commentary, it was pretty spot on. It was kind of nice to see. But like you said, it was kind of sucked not to see the fans. But it was kind of funny seeing the virtual fans in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught the one he asked the Jet fans. He's like, where are the boos at? I don't know if
they went all crazy and start. Yeah, it was funny.
So I thought that was kind of nice. And then what was the other thing he did too? Oh, he, because they're not supposed to, like, they didn't want to, like, give up the picks right away, like, to relieve them.
He gave up one of Miami's picks.
Yeah, like, he's like, oh, Tua's really going to like this one. And he's like, yeah. Oh, I didn't know I'm on camera. So I thought that was silly. And, you know, I mean, the one thing I did like about the NFL draft being virtual, it was kind of cool seeing every family.
Yeah.
Like, they show their reaction. So that was pretty neat. And then having, I forget who it was that picked up, but his dad was with them, and his dad's like yoked, and he's like talking on with his son and saying all this thing. It was pretty funny and wild how they did that. So I don't know. I think when they do this next year, this might be something they might look into more, have more guys stay home and do the virtual thing with the families. Cause I thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah. I think they all worked well together too, like with the broadcasters and the TV crews and all other stuff. It seemed like they were all on the same game plan, and it was pretty fluid. It wasn't really jumping around, and it there wasn't a lot that got missed, you know? So it was, I think they did a good job.
Were you surprised that there wasn't any trades in the top of the draft? Because I thought there was going to be so many trades with all these players and nothing happened.
I mean, it seemed, you know, a little normal. It seemed like it took a little bit longer, because usually in the top 10, you have, you know, two or three trades. And I think this year, I don't even know if there was a single one, you know, all the way. I think the first trade was later in the draft, you know, so it's usually, you know, I don't know if it had anything to do with it being a virtual draft, or if it had to do with, honestly, the first 20 draft picks were kind of like shooting fish in a barrel. It's like whoever you want, you kind of got, because this draft was, you know, like I said last time, it was stacked with talent all over the board, you know? So there was good guys going off, you know. I mean, I know we'll get to it, but I mean, the Chargers got an amazing player in the 7th round. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, there's players all over the place. So I think that might have had something to do with not too many trades.
Yeah, because I was surprised. I thought for sure someone's going to trade up. I think Detroit Lions were trying to trade out down of that pick. I don't think they got any takers. But yeah. Your Chargers had, what, 6 selections in the draft, and they made most of them. I think they took players that I think will make an early impact, you know, year one.
Yeah.
I mean, were you happy that Justin Herbert fell on your guys' lap?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I've been saying, you know, obviously Joe Burrow, there's no way he was going to fall. Even if, like, say the Bengals didn't take him for whatever reason, I guarantee you Washington would have taken him. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way. So, but I think between Tua and Justin Herbert, I mean, either one I would have been happy with, right? I had Herbert higher than Tua anyways, and it's probably because of my football background and whatnot. But if you look at Joe Burrow and Tua, Alabama and LSU's entire offense got drafted almost in the first round for both of them.
Right.
You know, and if you look at Justin Herbert, he had multiple head coaches, multiple offensive coordinators and different schemes, and only one other player got drafted on the offense the entire draft. So, you know, it speaks volumes that he was that good and that highly, you know, respected around the league that not a single one of his other players got drafted, whether I don't know if they're eligible or not, but you know, you take the other two quarterbacks and they're surrounded by all these players that most of them were first round draft picks. So I think I'm excited to see what he does with some actual weapons around him, you know?
Right. I mean, I was shocked, like, to be honest. Like, I thought there'd be more trades, and I was actually, you know, being a Chief fan, like, don't pick Justin Herbert, because I honestly think, like, I agree with you. I think he right now is the most NFL ready, but I also think too that he didn't throw to anybody. He didn't have like these first round draft pick receivers. I mean, I think Alabama had two receivers go in the first round.
Yep.
I mean,
and LSU had one.
Had a couple, you know.
Well, they had one and a running back.
I mean, LSU, you look at their offense, like, I think they were saying, I think 10 or all 11 starters basically all got drafted, something crazy like that stat. But yeah, I mean, I think Herbert is the most ideal position right now. I mean, he'd be able to sit behind Tyrod Taylor if he needs to, you know, and he'll improve his game, and especially with your guys' quarterback coach. And I read something about the Chargers that they said that they're going to change their system a little bit on offense to be more like what Herbert did at Oregon. So,
yeah,
I mean, they'd be similar. They said similar to the Ravens offense. So they're going to make the strengths for Herbert, which is good. Yeah. I think Tyrod Taylor is going to be a good bridge. I mean, I still think he's a good quarterback. I'm just shocked that no one really thinks that around the league, and I think he's going to turn some heads. So, but I mean, the most, I don't think Herbert will start. I think the most he'll play maybe two or three games. The most, like if someone, Tyrod gets injured, like unless the Chargers like totally do terrible, which I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't know if you saw this, but there's somebody predict, I think it's Bleacher Report, was predicting the Chargers to be 8-8 and dead last in the AFC West, which I thought was kind of hilarious. And I don't think that's even true.
8-8 would be tough to do to be dead last in the AFC West. You know?
I mean, they're predicting like everyone 9-7 and the Chiefs going 13-3. And I was just a little shocked with that. I don't think that's going to happen. But
yeah, I mean, right now I think our power rankings, we're like 28th or something like that. And I'm like, just keep sleeping on them is all I'm saying.
That's
you know?
I always said. That's why I always said every year with the Chiefs, like, keep sleeping on them. But now we actually won the Super Bowl. But, like, I'm always like, oh, we're going to do good. And everyone doesn't talk about us because we're small kind of city. But now it's different. Now everyone's going to be, you know, going out for us. And it was kind of nice hearing Roger Goodell say the Super Bowl champs pick, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good. And as far as, like, Justin Herbert and Tyrod Taylor, I think it's Tyrod's job to lose. You know, I think, obviously, he's going to start depending on if Justin Herbert comes in and just outperforms him in every aspect during preseason and camp and all the other stuff. But I think, you know, he'll probably, my prediction is he'll probably be a lot like what happened with him and Baker Mayfield, where he played, you know, five or six games and then it wasn't working out the way they needed to. So they gave the other guy a shot and he came in and got the crowd riled up and things like that. So, but even if he were to start the entire season, I think he's going to do better than 8-8.
I think there's too much talent in the Chargers, unless they get like major injuries again or something.
I mean, for the last 5 years, it seems like that's everything that happens.
I mean, it goes that way. I mean, the Chiefs, before they start their run of being good, I mean, there were so many times like, oh, this is the year for the Chiefs. And then we lose Jamal Charles, Eric Berry, all the same year. And we lost Derek Johnson, our linebacker, for Achilles injury, and Eric Berry the same time. And our defense wasn't that great, and it showed pretty well towards the end of the year.
Exactly.
So the Chiefs always trend of having like a fast start, and then they have a couple losses, and then towards the end they just choke. And that was the key. But now it's a little different. We'll see with the roster that Veach picked up and anything else. But I want to go back to the Chargers. Like, I was surprised, and I was really wanting this guy, but you guys went up and traded to get him, was Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of Oklahoma. Like, what'd you think of that trade up?
So it was fantastic. But while I was watching the draft and I saw, you know, New England's board up, right? Cause I was following it very closely and I see that there's been a trade been made. I hate doing business with New England no matter what. Right. And I'm pretty sure you're on the same page. Like, I think everybody in the AFC is like, doing business with New England. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, what did they swindle out of us? Like, they take four picks from us and, you know, they take Keenan Allen or something. Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they probably took the world from us. But then they took, you know, our second round pick. Okay, cool. So those two picks canceled each other out. And then they took a third round pick. I was like, okay, that's, you know, let's see who we're going to pick. And then when they said Kenneth Murray, in my mind, there was three linebackers. There was Isaiah Simmons, who really isn't a linebacker. He's a defensive player and he's a freak. It would have been great to have him, but we all knew that if we were going quarterback, he was going to be gone no matter what.
Right.
But then there's Kenneth Murray and then the Patrick Queen, right?
Yeah.
So honestly, if you take Isaiah Simmons out of the picture, I think Kenneth Murray is the top linebacker in the draft. And, you know, he's got, you know, sideline to sideline speed. He hits the crap out of people. He's a great tackler. He tackles a little high, which I think with some coaching can help out, because we all know the way the NFL's going, that, you know, you start hitting people high and you start
getting flagged a lot.
Right? So, but, you know, besides that, the guy's a leader. He's smart. He's very football smart. And he's insanely fast, which is what we really haven't had at our linebacker, you know, spot. I mean, look at Davis last year. That guy probably ran a 6.440, you know, the slowest person on the planet playing linebacker for us. So, you know, maybe he was a leader and whatnot, but my goodness, watching him play, it was like pulling my eyeballs out. But yeah, I was very stoked with it.
They're saying that he'll probably play the will linebacker for you guys. And then he'll play significant time. He'll be a very good run stopper, that's for sure. Like, he's rolling that. And then he's all over the yard. That's the one linebacker I was hoping the Chiefs could get if he slipped down, but obviously it didn't happen. And like you said, Patrick Queen, the one that knock about, I didn't really like about him too much is he was only a one-year starter, and actually he didn't even start for the team at the beginning of the year. So, yeah. I mean, at least Murray, he's had more experience. So I think that was a great pick for you guys. It makes your defense even more scary now. The only thing I thought was odd about this draft was that the fact that everyone in the AFC West started just loading up on offense.
Oh, my goodness.
Raiders picked up two receivers back-to-back. Everyone's like, okay, let's do what the Chiefs do and just how to outscore them because defensively we're not going to stop them or something. I guess it's a mentality. I mean, even the Cowboys, they took, was it Lamb out of Oklahoma. I was surprised on that pick. Like, why do they need a receiver? You know, they just lost all their safeties and corners this offseason. But, I mean, and then really – did you think the Chiefs were going to take a running back in the first round?
I didn't. I thought you guys were going to start boosting up some more of your defense, but
I was shocked.
So was I. I was like, all right. But I didn't think you were going to touch your offense. I thought you guys were going to go the same route the Panthers got and do a strictly defense only because your offense is all coming back and they're all – there really wasn't any places to fill. I thought, you know, you guys running back last year did perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But
the only thing, I think the only thing they're worried about is Damian Williams, like his he's always injured every other year, you know, and then this league too, you know, that with running backs, you know, you guys have Melvin Gordon over the years too, is you always have your lead back will get injured sometime and you gotta have some guys that rotate in and out. I mean, I thought the Chiefs had enough running backs of like, wow, okay, we got DeAndre Washington, we just, you know, got up from the Raiders as a free agent. We have Darwin Thompson, we drafted last year out of Utah as a 6th round pick. And we all have Damian Williams still. And then also there's, I think it's Darrell Williams, who was our big running back that was just more of a, you know, downhill runner, but he tore his ACL, I think it was, in the beginning of the year. So, I mean, I don't know if maybe his injury was going to be worse or something, but I was kind of shocked. But the more and more I watch tape on this kid, and they're showing highlights. I mean, this kid's a freak. I mean, I remember watching the, he's super tiny though. And I think one thing was kind of, Tyreek Hill tweeted out that he's like, well, I'm not the oldest, smallest guy on the team now. Because, like, I think the guy's only 5'7", 5'8", but he's really shifty. He kind of reminds me of Darren Sproles a little bit, but maybe a little bigger.
Yeah, he reminds me of Jones-Drew is who he reminds me of.
See, I had Jones-Drew and Darren Sproles, the guys that I had, like, a mix between two. And someone thought I was crazy. And there's all these experts. Like, I forget who was on NFL Network's, like, oh, he reminds me of Priest Holmes. And I'm like, what?
What?
Like,
Priest Holmes was big, wasn't he?
He was a little bigger. Yeah, I'm like, I don't really see that. And I guess it's because when Priest Holmes was running behind that massive offensive line the Chiefs had back in the day,
he just looked
smaller.
See
him. Yeah. You couldn't see him. And I think that's why, like, they're, you know. But I think this kid, you know, Clyde is going to be crazy. I mean, he led the SEC in rushing touchdowns last season. I mean, he was their workhorse. I think they said he averaged 6.6 yards a carry, which is not going to happen in the NFL. But I mean, it's still good. And, you know, the one impressive thing that I liked about
him. He can catch out of the backfield.
He could catch the ball out of the backfield. He had 7 games with a 100-yard rushing, and it's against the SEC, which is really good to say. I mean, when you have the SEC, everyone's NFL-caliber defense you're playing against. So, I mean, he's got a small frame, but the kid is shifty. I don't know if you remember watching the championship game when there's 2 times against Alabama he caught the ball on a swing pass and, you know, juked some guys out and scored a touchdown. So,
absolutely.
He's definitely – it was definitely a big surprise and I think a luxury. What was a head-scratcher pick for you guys, for you, in general, in the draft in the first round? Like, which team were you surprised they did a pick in the first round for?
Who's the Packers, 100%.
Oh, okay.
Picking up Jordan Love, right? How are you going to take someone at the caliber of Aaron Rodgers, who all he needed was some help at wide receiver, and you're going to go pick up a quarterback who – may or may not have even stayed in the first round to begin with, you know, like it just,
and
that,
blew my mind.
I was like that. I was like, wow.
What blew my mind is that they traded up to get him.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they like fell down to get, you know, like Aaron Rodgers. It's kind of like deja vu and Brett Favre.
Exactly.
And Aaron Rodgers. But the difference is Brett Favre was on his way out. Like
He was declining.
He was getting older. Aaron Rodgers is still doing Aaron Rodgers things. I mean,
he's still doing great. You just need to put some weapons around him, and he'd be a dangerous offense.
I mean, when they were playing the Chiefs, they had Davante Adams, and then after that, it was a bunch of practice squad guys that I can remember. I mean, they're big receivers. I'm not going to say they're not athletic, but they're not like, you know, high priced names or anything. And that's one thing that someone was talking about was DeMar Hopkins. Would it have been surprising if the Chiefs, I mean, if the Packers went out and traded him, you know, to get him instead of the Cardinals? Like, that would make sense. And then the draft pick another receiver. But I think they're saying the Packers, for example, they haven't drafted a receiver in like the last, they didn't draft a receiver this draft. And then also, too, they're saying the past couple drafts, they haven't drafted one in the first round. I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And they had a weird stat they showed. Aaron Rodgers has never thrown a touchdown pass to a first round draft pick.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's kind of like when you think about it, it kind of like sits back. You're like, what? But every receiver he had, you know, was a second round pick, I guess, or lower. So I was kind of shocked with that one. Another head scratcher I had, and I know Hector probably didn't like this, was the Raiders with the pick in Damian Arnett, the corner out of Ohio State. He was supposed to be projected to be like a third rounder.
Yeah.
So, but the Raiders last year did a head scratcher and a couple guys, and everyone's like, oh, the Raiders had a worse draft, but those guys end up doing very well.
They
did,
yeah. And the Raiders are notorious for drafting by 40 times. So
yeah. I mean, like, I thought Al Davis, when he died, they're going to stop doing that, but they still are picking guys who can fly.
You know, like Henry Ruggs was not the best wide receiver on the board, and they chose him, and he's fast. He's not bad by any means, but you know, there's other wide receivers that, you know, could have been a little bit more beneficial than just someone who can smoke down the field, you know?
So, I mean, the only thing, I go back to the Packers. I mean, do you think the Packers are sending a message to Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't follow them all too, you know, too much, but it seems like there's something going on in the locker room that they might be like, hey, we got this guy that, you know, he's got good arm strength and he's, you know, got potential and whatnot, but he's 100% not ready, NFL ready yet. You know, made a lot of mistakes and whatnot, and that's something that Aaron Rodgers doesn't do very often. And he's, you know, I'm not sure if this is right, but I'm pretty sure he's got one of the records for most attempts without an interception.
You know, well, he's got the historic record, I think, right now of the touchdown and interception ratio.
Okay, yeah, something like that. But it's
But then a lot of people are saying, too, like, well, the reason why is because he has the most throwaways. Like, I guess last year they had a lot of throwaways. But when you're playing the 49ers and you got no one blocking for you, I mean, that's, you know, no one to throw to, like, get open and breaking off their route. What do you expect? And
when you throw the ball away, you're either going to get sacked, no one's open, or you're going to throw an interception. So out of all of those, I'd rather someone be throwing the ball away than trying to force something in and, you know, getting intercepted or sacked or whatnot.
So one thing that was weird that I was looking up was Matt Floor, the coach of the Packers. Like, everywhere he's gone, offensive coordinator, the team's got worse on offense.
Oh, really?
Like, when he left the Rams, they did better. When he left the Titans, they were, like, middle in the pack. They started going up more. But he's more of a run guy, like a Mike Shanahan type of running, you know, game. So, I think it definitely, to me, seemed like they drafted a strong running game. They weren't running the ball. I feel like they want to get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands less, you know, and have him run the ball more, because it seemed like they were getting stronger because they drafted, what, a running back who doesn't catch the ball in the backfield from Boston College, who's just up and down. And they got, like, an H-back tight end. So, like the first couple picks. I mean, I was just kind of shocked by that. And I think they're really just going to start trying to be like the 49ers. I think they're trying to, like, take the ball away and be more run the ball and everything else, because they can't stop that. I guess they can't score more points. I don't know. I think he's just trying to change. I think it was, like, a safe thing to do just in case Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. They have someone now who's, like, athletic and maybe can do the same type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers had history of getting broken collarbone a couple times. And every time that happened, the Packers season was over.
Because they had nobody as a backup. So, durability is something that they're thinking of.
That's all I can think of, because otherwise than that, I'm thinking they're just – I don't get it. And then there's people saying rumors, and Hector might like this from the Raiders, that they might try to trade and get Aaron Rodgers, like, after a year or two, because maybe he's thinking he's going to be unhappy.
I saw that right before we started this on Instagram, that there was a rumor that he might be going to the Raiders. And in my mind, I was like, oh, man.
That's going to be great for us, right? I mean, I already got pissed off seeing him in Green Bay when he played against us in Arrowhead. And he made, like, these ridiculous throws, and, like, no one else can catch it. The receiver catches it. They made a perfect defense, and we still lost the game. I mean, it's just
He's incredible. I didn't mind playing him last year, that was like the one time last season that when we played, everything lined up and everything we did worked. And yeah, I don't know if it was coaching scheme or what, but it was that game. I was sitting there like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, where was this all season?
But getting back to the draft, the Chiefs, like, I was, like, thinking their first pick, they got to pick a linebacker, a corner. But I really think when Jeff Gladney, the corner out of TCU, when he went off the board, I think it was a pick before us, I was like, okay, what are we going to do now? Because all the linebackers supposedly were going to pick in the first round are gone because Queen was gone. A couple of corners that I thought they were going to pick, Jalen Johnson, all those guys were gone. And so they got a running back. And then the second round, which I didn't even know this guy existed. I didn't even watch him. But I guess Willie Gay Jr., I mean, he missed 8 games in 2019 due to a violation of team rules. So this guy's kind of like got some history. But but when he's been on the field, he's produced. I mean, they said he had 48 tackles, 5 sacks, and 2 interceptions as a sophomore in 2018. And then he also, I guess in the SEC, his linebackers had the 5th most pressures. And then they were saying too that he tallied 28 tackles, 3.5 for loss, interception, a forced fumble, and 5 games of action last season. So he definitely turns the ball over and gets the ball and takes it away, which is something the Chiefs need on defense. And you kind of need that kind of crazy guy in the middle, linebacker. Yeah. And I think it'd be a good pick. And then the one thing that they're showing, you know, because after every team, you know, every team website, they show like all the highlights for each player. And they're showing like his 40 time and all that stuff. I didn't know this, but I guess he tested out just as Isaiah Simmons did, a level of freakiness at the combine. They said he ran a 4.4640. He had a 39-inch vertical, and he's 6'1", 243 pounds. And then they said also, too, like, it's not just a combine guy, but he also translates on the field because they said in pass coverage, which is what the Chiefs, I think, lack the most is their linebackers. Like, you guys would kill
Eckler
and Melvin Gordon.
We smoked you guys throwing the running backs out of the backfield. That's, like, the one thing that you guys were hurting really, really bad on last year.
So this is the one thing I love that I heard this from him. They said he's 93.9. This is according to, Pro Football Focus. 93.9%, I guess, career coverage grade, I guess they gave him, being the highest of any player in the draft class regardless of position. Wow. So he can coverage people out of the field, which is something we need. So, I mean, but he has character issues. Supposedly got in a fight with his quarterback. But, I mean, the Chiefs, we started to take those guys in, and Andy Reid's had a history of taking guys who got, like, a little problem. So we'll see how that goes. And then I want to talk to you about the second round. Like, I know the first round talk about, like, the surprise picks, but were you surprised by the Eagles taking Jalen Hurts in the
100%.
Second round? 100%. This is another one.
I wasn't surprised that he got drafted. It's just where and who drafted him. So the Eagles, you know, Carson Wentz is a solid quarterback. And yes, he's had his durability issues in the past. And maybe they're kind of thinking around the same thing that the Packers were thinking. But at the same time, like, Jalen Hurts to me he's a starting quarterback. And, you know, having him sit behind Wentz, does that mean, you know, it's the Eagles are going to be moving past him, or that they don't think that Hurts is ready, or are they going to try and use him like I heard someone say they're going to try and use him like a Taysom Hill type, which I don't think anybody can be used like him. He just returns punts, block punts, returns kicks. You know, I'm surprised he's not, you know, kicking the ball off. He punted one, I remember. Threw a touchdown, got a running touchdown. It's
wild. Talk about him, Taysom Hill. I'm not trying to say, but one thing I want to say, he reminds me, I swear to God, this is funny probably for you just saying this, but he reminds me of you when you played football, because you could throw, you could kick, you did everything, you know, in college. And so, like, you kind of remind me of a little vision of you, but I don't know. I just thought of that. But, Taysom Hill, though, I think he's a hell of a player, and I don't know if Jalen Hurts will be up to that level, but I think they'll use him in different roles. And like you said, if Wentz gets hurt, because he's an incredible quarterback, but when he gets hurt, it hurts the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, finally was healthy the whole year, but then he gets hurt in the playoff game, and Cade McNown comes in, the old timer, and he felt bad because I guess apparently he had like a torn muscle in his arm or something. They were saying too. They found out later. So I mean,
I wanted him to win so bad. Like, it was
oh when, yeah
when he came on the field, I was like, come on. You could tell he was hurt during that game anyway. I remember watching that and whatnot. Yeah. But, yeah, it's the second round was crazy. I think the Colts made out, you know, they're building something over there. You know, they got an amazing wide receiver, and then they drafted the running back that I wanted for the Chargers, Jonathan Taylor, who they were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's got fumble issues and ball security, but if you see what the guy does on the field, it was insane. And so I think, you know, they picked up, you know, a top tier wide receiver and a top tier running back, you know, to go along with their phenomenal offensive line, you know, and then now they got Phillip Rivers, which I didn't want to follow, you know, the Rivers train that all these other Charger fans are going after and whatnot. But I was like, man, you know, they're picking up some weapons. They're probably going to try and make a run for something.
I think they do have a good shot. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, he's a great running back. I think I think 3 years that he was there as a running back, I think he led the Big Ten in rushing. I mean, the Big Ten, all they do is run the ball. So, I mean, that's something that's appreciate. And a lot of Wisconsin running backs get a high volume. But when you watch some of the games against Ohio State, he was in that defense. He was running all over him too. So, I think he's a great pick. I honestly was so surprised that we picked the running back in the first round. I still can't really get over that. But when I look at it, like going back to the Chiefs, like he fits the mold more for the Chiefs is that Clyde, because Jonathan Taylor, he's a good running back, but the kind of speed offense the Chiefs have and, you know, the way they're running it, I don't see you'd fit as well. But also too, it's kind of a back that I think the Chiefs would kind of benefit from, because we don't really have a bulldozer guy. I mean, Darrell Williams is the only guy, but he tore his ACL and I don't know how fast the recovery is going to be. So, that's why I'm still head scratching about it. But the more highlights I see of Clyde, I'm loving.
Yeah, he can run between the tackles. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not Marshawn Lynch or, you know, a big Derrick Henry or something, but he can still hold his own in between the tackles. So it's, you know, he may not be your perfect, you know, three down back, but he's definitely going to give you guys some production.
So going into now the third round, because I know you guys had no pick in the second and third, you traded up, but I can't really remember what everyone had because, you know, I just follow the Chiefs. But I do love the pick the Chiefs picked up, because I was like, we need interior linemen, you know, protect Mahomes, and or they had some issues with guard last year. And especially now, a lot of the NFL teams are starting to go heavy up in the middle because they're seeing how dominant Aaron Donald's been and Chris Jones, the guys going up the middle. And we don't have any big guys in the middle except our Doc guy, the Canadian guard, but he's been injured. And so we picked up this kid from TCU, Lucas Neig, and I guess a lot of people are saying he's a steal of the third round because he was projected to be a first rounder, but he had an injury in this part of last season due to a hip injury. And I guess he's 6'6", 315 pound. And the one stat that was pretty cool to see him do this is that he did not allow a sack in 27 career starts at TCU. And I mean, I guess it's because it's against the Big 12 defenses, you know, but at the same time, you're passing a lot with TCU and you never gave up a sack. That's pretty impressive and that's great. But I guess they were saying too, Veach was saying that a GM of the Chiefs were saying that we're going to try to push him into guard because we already have Eric Fisher on the tackle and we already have Mitchell. So I was just kind of surprised that we picked that tackle, but I guess he plays versatile and maybe going to be in the middle. So I thought it was a steal for the Chiefs and hopefully. Because they are saying the first three picks the Chiefs had, arguably they could have been all first rounders. But like he said, this draft is so deep. I'm excited with this draft, how it ended up coming out to be, and seeing the teams. And I just, you know, I followed quarterbacks, and I felt bad with seeing some of the quarterbacks not go really late. Because I thought I still like that Eason kid, and I think the Colts picked him up. So he's another guy that can come in. I think when Phillip Rivers goes down, because he's a big dude too, and he played for Washington. And he didn't have any receivers like all these Joe Burrow and everything else. So
if you look at it, like some of the plays that he made, you were like, "Wow!" Like those were very impressive. But then there's also, you know, some mistakes where he kind of melted down a little bit, and he didn't have that quick, you know, memory loss that most good quarterbacks have. You know, where they make a mistake and they move on from it. It seems like when he was on, and when he was really off. So I think he could learn a lot. That's one of the things that I was really, you know, as much as I was ready for a new era in the, you know, Chargers franchise and whatnot, it would have been nice to have drafted a quarterback last year or had, you know, signed you know, Rivers to a 1-year deal, you know, to mentor one of these younger guys. But
right.
Cause he, the way the guy reads defenses and all the other stuff is phenomenal. You know, that's the one good thing, yeah, I'll give him. You know, all the other stuff I can, you know, you can talk about his mobility and his gunslingerness when he just, you know, throws the ball up. You know, he's had a lot of help in the past. You had Vincent Jackson, who was a burner. You had Malcolm Floyd, who could jump catch any ball, and all of his catches were contested. You know, Antonio Gates, who had a bajillion contested, you know, yeah. even this year, you have the best route runner in Keenan Allen, and then Mike Williams can catch anything, you know. So it's like he had a lot of help. So it's the fact that he would just throw the ball up there a lot of the times is what led him to, you know, all these turnovers and whatnot.
So I was surprised that the quarterbacks kind of dropped off the way. Jake DeFromm, I don't know where he went, but he was the guy that took over from Easton, yes, Georgia when he went out. And so it's funny to see that Easton got drafted before, yeah, him, but enough with the quarterbacks being drafted. But the fourth round, I don't remember who you guys
picked. We picked Joshua Kelly, the running back at UCLA.
Okay, so you got another guy, yeah, that can run the ball, and he can catch the ball, yeah, in the backfield,
he,
too.
You know, he had back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons, and he's a he could potentially be a three-down back, but he's the kind of back that we don't have. We have, you know, Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson, and both are elusive, you know, in space runners, whereas Josh Kelly is now that big bruising, you know, first down back to get, you know, 5 or 6 yards, right, to set up everything nicely, and our goal line back. So, you know, he's not a massive running back by any means, but he's, you know, above average, and he definitely has shown in the past that he can, you know, he's a bruiser. He can run between the tackles and make people miss and run people over if need be. So I was really happy with the pick. I think we probably could have got him in the fifth round, but at this point, with having, you know, almost 100 picks in between our second pick and our third pick, that they needed to snatch up a position player that we definitely need. I mean, we have two very elusive running backs, but we didn't have that bruiser, that goal line that we lost with Melvin Gordon.
I mean, it was concerning for me because Chiefs, I thought for sure we need to get cornerback and we'll get linebacker the first two picks. And we didn't pick our corner until, I think, the seventh round. But in the fourth round, we took a guy, Legarius Sneed. He played safety at Louisiana Tech. And I guess he can fly, because I guess he said his 40 was a 4.37 at the combine, which I guess was the fourth best among all participants, with all the best of, I guess, of everybody in there. And then is also his speed checks, I guess, also to game action too, because they said in the football, he tallied more pick sixes over the last 4 years than anyone else, which I'd never heard of this kid before. I'm like, oh, that's good to hear, because the last guy we had do pick sixes was Marcus Peters, but he was in that case, and we got rid of him. I mean, we had Dirty Dan, Swearinson does it every once in a while, but I don't think we had a pick six at Juan Thornhill last year once against the Raiders. But other than that, we don't really have a lot of pick sixes anymore. And so it's kind of good to see we got him. And I guess according to the Pro Football Focus, one thing that's great about him is he's very versatile, because he played a lot of times slot cornerback, because now we lost Jordan Lucas and we lost Kendall Fuller in free agency. So now we have a guy that can step up for this, because he can play free safety, play in the box. I mean, he's 6 foot tall, 192 pounds, but he says he feels more comfortable being a corner. This is according to the Chiefs website. But we'll see how he does. I mean, I think his speed is great, but I was surprised that this kid drafted down to the fourth round. But like you said, there's so much depth in this, in this
every
draft,
position,
so, I mean,
too. Like, one of the only positions that I don't think was insanely deep was defensive linemen. You know, there's only a few that, you know, kind of popped up, but you were deep at wide receiver, you're deep at offensive line, you're deep at, you know, DBs, whether they're, you know, safeties or cornerbacks. Your linebackers were fairly deep, so it was an exciting draft all around, you know?
It's funny, because like the fifth round, the Chiefs pick a defensive lineman, which I was like, okay, what are we picking on a cornerback? But we picked up a defensive lineman from Michigan, the defensive end, Mike Danny, and I guess he was 1 year removed from Central Michigan, where I guess he was like a badass catching a lot of sacks. And but he went to Michigan for his grad transfer, only had 3.5 snaps and rotated in and out. So he was more of a role player. So I know that Spags, our defense, they like that defensive line to rotate because that's the way he does. So maybe that's why we picked him up. But, I mean, we also still have a couple guys that were toward Breland Speaks. He hurt himself last year in the first game, and he was a defensive lineman. So maybe he's going to camp battle with him now because we have a lot of defensive linemen on our roster. So I was kind of shocked with that. I mean, your fifth-round pick, did you guys have a fifth-round pick?
We picked up Joe Reed out of Virginia, the wide receiver. He's basically a return specialist. He's a great wide receiver. He had a stat that said that he had zero drops his entire career on 25-yard or beyond, you know, receptions, which is – so his deep ball, the way he can track it and – you know, which is good for, you know, punt returning and kick returning, especially punt, because as a punt returner myself, it is very hard to track that ball when it's in the air because it moves all over the place. And so it's why you see a lot of muffed punts and things like that, is because, you know, the way it comes off the kicker's foot, not everyone's a perfect spiral. You know, some of them, you know, are knuckleballs that are moving all over the place. So, you know, he led all of the NCAA in kickoff returns for touchdowns and yardage. And so he's definitely a special teams player that's going to be exciting to watch and someone to battle for the number three wide receiver position, because we really didn't have one. We had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and then a bunch of practice squad guys. We had Dontrell Inman for a little bit, but he didn't, I believe he got injured, or he didn't really pan out the way he did when he was first on the Chargers. So it was basically two wide receivers and a bunch of practice squad guys fighting for that last, you know, the wide receiver three spot. So it's nice that in the fifth and the seventh round that they went after, you know, something that we need in wide receivers.
Yeah. Cause the Chiefs finally, they pick a corner in the seventh round. We actually traded in the seventh round, which is really weird. You never think your team would trade into the seventh round to pick up a player, but I guess, like, we really like this player, and I love his name. I think it's hilarious. It's Bo Pete Keys is his name. I guess he's a two-year starter at Tulane. I mean, he played for the Green Wave. You know, he's 6'1". His wingspan is over 32 inches wide, and he brings, you know, more length than our secondary than what our Chiefs like to see. So he's really raw, they were saying. And I mean, obviously there must have been something they liked about this kid, because they went in and get him in the seventh round. But I guess they're saying on the website that there was a bidding war for him if he went to undrafted. So that's why the area scout, Willie Davis, the Chiefs, he went back in to get to pick him up. So, I mean, I said, anytime you trade, I mean, because Brett Veach, the last three drafts, actually include this one, he always makes a trade. And so I was like, when's the trade going to happen? Like, I always thought we were going to trade up or trade down, get more picks. We only had five. But I know our salary caps is a concern. So you think if you trade back, get more picks, that means you have to have more of a salary cap, you know. I know one thing that kind of sucks to see was that we let go of Dustin Colquitt, our punter. I mean, he was with the Chiefs for 15 years. And he's like, he was there when, you know, we sucked. And then now he's there. He goes out and we win. So it would have been nice to have him retire as a Chief, you know, go out and that's it. But I guess I don't know. We'll see if he does retire or he goes on more. But I wish that could have been. But, you know, he saved up, you know, I think it was, I forget how much millions of dollars of cap space we got by releasing him. So, I mean, it's going to happen with certain players. And I'd hate to see him go. But I guess we brought in some punters that go. And I guess one of them is a former Charger. He's a guy, I guess they were showing videos of when he was in college. He was kicking in the, what do you call it? The Jumbotron, the crazy stadium in Texas, Dallas's,
Dallas Cowboys stadium.
Whatever. I guess he's punting and hitting the top Jumbotron. So I guess the guy's got a leg for sure. So, I mean, that's good for the Chiefs, I guess, but we didn't really punt that much last year. So maybe that's why we got rid of Dustin Colquitt. I don't know.
That's what's weird is, but, like, the Raiders got rid of King. And I thought he was one of the most exciting punters. I mean, it could be something else, the reason why they got rid of him, but is that guy had a leg, and I'm like, what's he doing in the XFL right now? Like,
I know. I was surprised he was in the XFL, because I remember he was the Broncos for a little bit too, and then I saw that. I'm like, because people are saying, should they pick up King, the Chiefs? I'm like, what? what do you mean? I thought he was on the Broncos. I thought he was on another team in the NFL, but I'm surprised that he fell out. I still laugh today is when the Chiefs were playing in Kansas City against the Oakland Raiders, and at the time it was Oakland. And King kicks the ball, and it's like there's a penalty to Tyreek Hill, so they redid the kick. And, of course, Tyreek Hill scored a touchdown. And I'll never forget, it was Travis Kelce doing a little cowboy dance in front of King. That's what King always would do. So that's still one of those funny moments.
Kelce's a weirdo.
I mean, they had him on the draft, like virtual draft. They had guys talking, and they had, I think it was Tom Brady, him, and I forget who else, Michael Strahan. And they're making fun of what he was wearing. And I think Tom Brady even said, hey, man, I'll have to buy some of the ice from you because I need that for Miami. And it was just kind of funny because he's wearing some goofy stuff. And I mean, his brother's a nut too. I guess like when they won the Super Bowl, he wore like a genie outfit or something. I can't remember what it was, but because a lot of people are saying, "Oh, what's Travis Kelce gonna do to one up his brother at the the parade when they won the Super Bowl?" But I mean, he just got drunk, intoxicated, and screaming and stuff. But I guess that's what everyone did at Kansas City. But I mean, now the question is this NFL season gonna start on time? You know, and all the mini camps when they gonna start and. I guess there's proposed out there that it might be a 12-game schedule. I don't know if you heard any
no,
of
I,
about
the last
that,
I heard
but
is
I know
that, you know, they plan on it starting on time, but it's going to be whether or not they got fans in the stands, which I think would be really weird. You know, like
I can't imagine
just being quiet and like, how's the audio going to be? Are we going to be able to hear everything they say type thing? You know, it's going to feel like a practice almost, you know?
Do you remember watching, I don't know if you didn't watch much baseball, but you remember when the Orioles and the Red Sox had to play a game with no crowd? It was a couple years ago. It was the weirdest. I remember like they're showing highlights of it. And I remember like the crack of the wooden bat, how quiet was the stadium running around. And so I just, you can't go to a football game and not see a stand in the stands. Like it's just, you know, it's not like it's a freshman high school football game. At least you had like 15 people out there, you know, cheering you on. But I'm just shocked. We'll see like what's going to happen. I know they're saying too that came out today, the NFL's for sure not going to play out in Europe or Mexico in international games.
Yeah, I saw
this year.
That.
So the Jaguars are probably happy because now they can play more home games. I mean, the draft's over now.
I'm super excited to see. You know, just like I am every year, you know, at the beginning of the season, I'm like, we got the greatest team ever. And then it, you know, I'm sure every fan feels that way. You know, you start something I'm super excited about is the fact that the Chargers got picked up for the Hard Knocks. So I get a little bit of you know, Charger sensation, you know, before the preseason and whatnot, because it's usually at this time after the draft, it's countdown to preseason, you know, when's the first preseason game, and that's what I'm looking forward to. But now that there's you know, the Hard Knocks is coming out, you know, whether or not it actually happens because of all this, you know, stuff that's going on, so we'll see. But at least, you know, we might be able to get a little Charger sensation prior to the camps and all that other stuff, so
we'll see what happens this year. I mean, I'm excited. Like you said, every team's probably think they're going to go to the Super Bowl now after seeing all the draft picks and see all the highlights. And, you know, the one thing they probably should do, which is maybe a little much, but maybe they should show all the bad things the kids did too, you know, like, so like they get like kind of reality hits.
That's
you know, you show Herbert throwing all these touchdown passes, but you should show the one pick sixes, or you should show like the Chiefs, you know, the guy flipping out, hitting his, players and penalties, or
so that's,
you know,
actually
just,
that's actually something I do a lot once the draft is done and over with, because I love football so much that I'll go back and I'll watch the entire game. I won't go, oh, you know, Justin Herbert highlights, so of course he's gonna look phenomenal, you know, or go, oh, you know, Alohi Gilman highlights, and you know, you look through and you're like, this guy's phenomenal. Why did we get him in the sixth round? You know, like, but then you go through and like, I'll look up, you know, some of the better, Oregon games, you know, like just look it up and watch the entire game, because I mean, what else are we doing right now? Like, you know,
right. I know they re-aired the Super Bowl another time. Like the Foxes re-aired the Super Bowl again. And like, I'm a Chief fan, and I've watched like four or five times, and like literally, like I could still probably watch it, but at the same time, maybe I'll watch something else. Maybe I'll fast forward to the last quarter. But other than that, like, I can't watch that over. You know, I shouldn't say
I
that.
Figure,
I probably can't watch it over
you
again.
You probably had that thing recorded on your DVR or something, you know?
Like, I mean, I honestly don't have it recorded. That's one thing that's kind of sad. Like, so, I don't have any of that stuff recorded. I remember, it's funny, like, we try to record the award show and everything, and of course it cuts off. So I don't even get all that, but
so,
you know,
I still
there's YouTube
have
now. I've also been fine now.
Chargers Chiefs Thursday night game recorded where we made that miraculous comeback, and I still watch that shit because that was one of the better games that I've like. Usual Charger fashion is we play phenomenal and then we end up losing in the end over something silly, and that was. That was one of the games that will go down as, you know, one of the better games that I've ever witnessed the Chargers playing. And especially with that, you know, having Keenan Allen was hurt and Melvin Gordon didn't play. It was a phenomenal game to watch. And I know I want to just rub that in a little bit that I still have that recorded on my TV. So,
And there, I guess my buddy was telling me they actually were showing because Alex Smith, they had a little documentary going on about him, his recovery. And I haven't seen
it yet. It's pretty hard to watch.
I really loved Alex.
I watched a bit of it, and I was like, I can't because it was pretty rough.
Because I still remember, because you're talking about comebacks, I still remember the season opener when Alex Smith like ran, like I think it was the overtime, he ran the touchdown at the very end. The Chiefs were down by a lot, and they came back, but I know that one kind of hurts, but it was a season opener. But, you know, anyways, but that's one thing I got to watch that. And then I know the Michael Jordan documentary. I'm not really a basketball fan that much, but maybe I'll watch that. But there's nothing else on. Unless you want to watch, I guess, Korean baseball is going to be on Friday. So if you're really desperate about some baseball or live action sports, you got to watch that Korean baseball. But other than that, I got nothing else to say. I want to say thanks again, Tim, for doing this. And we'll have to definitely, hopefully, do this again when the Chargers actually play some regular season games or preseason game if we have it. Because this is a lot of fun and good catching up. I mean, we gotta do this more often.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm down whenever. Yeah, I could legitimately talk football all day.
That's all I do. It's to drive my wife nuts. So I gotta like talk to someone else. I've been talking to the Chiefs, and he's like, but anyways, it's good talking to you like always, and be safe out there. With this coronavirus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wash your hands and all the stuff you have to do, and you know, good luck with your family and anything
else.
Yeah,
you
right
too,
now.
Man.
So, we'll see you.
All right,
talk to you next time.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode, and make sure to check in next week. I'll be uploading more episodes, and don't forget, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at How About Them Chiefs. So go check it out. And again, thanks for listening. Go Chiefs!